We're here because of what Jesus has done for us. We're here as a response to what he's done. And we want to introduce this morning the beginning of some dreams that we're beginning to have. Dreams would be another word for vision. We're beginning to see things that we as a community want to move toward. And it's very appropriate that we would start with, we want to be a community that really cares well for our children. We're really grateful for the kids that God has given to us individually in your family, but then to us as a community that we get to share our lives with, that we get to love. I noticed today I've been at the Wilsons and Charlotte has finally got my name down. Caught. You know, good morning, Cotton. It's great. It's great. I love getting to know the young people that are in our lives, and they add a ton to our ministry. And so Jen is going to come and share with you some things that have been stirring in her heart and concerning our children. And I know we're all interested in that. And it's something that we as a community really want to get behind with our prayers and our support. And just kind of work out how we're going to do this together. Basically, in just a nutshell, we have these values as a local church and values as a movement, and we want our kids to get to know what those values are. So there's just a little reminder of what those values are. And Jen, I'd like to invite you and Jeremy to come. Jeremy may just be the tech this time. I don't know. And Calvin, good, okay. You want that? Okay, yeah, that's fine.
I don't want to hold the mic if that's all right.
Sure. So please welcome Jen Wilson.
Oh. Feels like it's almost like my home group. Five of us that represent my home group are a little more comfortable. I will eat the mic. Okay. No. Okay. Good. It is a desert out there. We had a snake in our yard last night, two days ago. I have an unhealthy fear of snakes, just so you know. I can't even look at them in a magazine. I don't want to touch the magazine or whatever. And so we had a friend over, and she doesn't have an unhealthy fear of snakes. So our dog was barking at this little thing, and I figured it was just biker or somebody, and she said, no, I think he's barking at a snake. Like, well, how do you know a dog's bark at a snake? I mean, who would do that? And sure enough, Calvin goes by and he's like, that's a snake hole right at our new foundation, Scott. And so we have right under Samantha's window, there was a hole, and I've seen these holes a lot in our backyard, and I just figure they're chipmunks or something, not snakes. So I think we don't have snakes in our backyard because I am afraid of snakes. So why would they be in our backyard? And it sure enough was a snake. That was a really, really long snake. It wasn't that big, but patch, mouth, face or something. I don't know. The girl discovered what it was. The gal who took a picture like this, which I'm standing 50 feet away trying not to scream, trying to act like it's normal to have a snake in our backyard. And so, anyway, it is a desert in our backyard, and there's a giant pile of brush that Jeremy is keeping to breed more snakes. And so, I am not sure. Like, we like to sit outside at night and talk, but it's just not going to happen till that giant. That's why Memorial Day is happening this weekend, because Monday, Jeremy will be putting all of that brush and all of the snakes into the paper bags to put on the backyard. It's true. You laugh at my pain, but it's true. I would leave my house if it wasn't brand new. I'd be looking for a new one. There's a snake in my backyard. Okay, anyway. Totally wasn't planning on saying that. So we do. Thank you, guys. I'm glad that, I mean, not that you came to hear me because you didn't know it. You're wishing maybe that you had taken that tubing trip that you got invited to this morning, but you're here. even our visitor, who I know, but glad you're here. Anyway, we have a lot of kids in this church, and that's really what got the ball rolling in my mind. We take care of coordinating, organizing the stuff with the kids, and a few weeks ago, we got to be part of the leadership conference, the Greater Vineyard in Phoenix, and it was a really cool experience. We really got a bird's eye view of what this whole movement, this, do we call ourselves a denomination? I don't know. This church, what we believe in. And we hear it from Scott, and we hear it, you know, through different messages, but it was kind of neat to see this huge melting pot of people who kind of have the one similar mind goal, whatever, and what they, how they present our faith. And then we got to go to a lot of workshops, and we got to hear how to do that with kids. And so that's really what I want to talk about. So I'm going to pray real quick. Jesus, this is not my regular mode of communication. So I just ask that you give me grace. You would put the words in my mouth that need to be said, that you would just give me your heart for our kids and give our, just the church, your heart for children. Just teach us how to love them and how to communicate with them. Just bless us today. Amen. Okay, sorry you guys have to be here. You sweet third through sixth graders. Like, she said it would be exciting, and already it's not. But it won't be that long, because Jeremy, he's got it keyed on here. The screen is going to go blank when my time is up. So that's the, and actually this is another thing. I am a better writer than speaker. I've realized I do everything in stream of consciousness, and that's, you can do that when you're writing, and then you can go back and go, oh, that was a little bit too much information. It's really hard to do that speaking. So if maybe Benji could say too much information, give me like the keep going. I'm going to actually probably do a lot of reading just to keep it from going that way. So one of the workshops that I attended in Phoenix was talking about the 614 window, which we've heard of the 1040, right? Okay, this is the 614 window. The gal was saying that kids are the most fertile mission field, and she calls it the 614 window because statistically, a person has a 30% likelihood of accepting Christ between the ages of 6 and 14, and only about a 4 to 5% likelihood after that. So she was just saying how exciting it is that God created kids to have hearts that are open windows to love his, to love him and to love his kingdom. And that's where you guys get to come in. So this is really a little message for our kids. And I want to show you guys how you can get on the bandwagon. Church kids. You think about, I was raised in a church setting, and I think this might be a pretty common thing among people who were raised in a church as kids, that we understood the rules and how to be good, what it meant to be respectful, and you know, we knew how to say the right answer. We knew the Sunday school answer, as they would say. But a lot of us, and myself, I'm really realizing I really wasn't discipled as a kid. Nobody really showed me how to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So all of our values that we talk about are useless if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And that's a huge part to doing children's ministry, is to lead them into that relationship. So we try to get kids to exhibit spiritual qualities like the fruit of the Spirit, and we have cute little skits, and we dress up like Fruit of the Loom, and they can do all that fun stuff. But if it's just on the outward, then it's just like another school lesson, or, you know, it's not in the heart. And so it's important. I mean, we want our kids to gather our character. That we want them to see how we treat people. We hope they will treat people like they see us. And that is all very important to parenting, telling our kids the rules. You guys love rules, right? Like, give me more rules. Okay, well, wouldn't that be neat if it was just like relationship? Like, what if we just said, we just want you guys to have a relationship. Like, you just kind of, and all of that rule stuff starts to make sense in light of a relationship, because you are learning to love the creator of the universe and your parents and your siblings and the people in your school. And so it all has to come out of a relationship. And that is everything that people do here, the grown-ups, you can do. And that's the thing that really grabbed me at this Phoenix conference, is that everybody gets to play. We heard that a lot. That's a Vineyard line. Everybody gets to play. And I want to do that. I want to see that in our community. So teaching Christian behaviors to kids who aren't yet Christians is really a backward way to teach. And it's the reason many church-raised kids have fallen into the trap of legalism, just that false belief that being good is the way to heaven. So when kids discover they can't be good, they often reject the church altogether. And I think that's what happens when we get to our teen years and we think, wow, it's really hard being good. I'm never going to be like my parents. And this whole church thing just doesn't make sense to me. It's boring. And it's not relevant to me. And then we just start to kind of turn off the knob. And then we go through our teen years really without a relationship with Jesus, even if we're in the church. And then we go to college, and our soil, our fertile soil that we talked about, it starts to get, other stuff gets planted in there. I mean, kids aren't going to stay fallow. They're going to have, they're ready to soak up whatever's being taught. And so if they end up getting things sown into them that are not of Jesus or talking about a relationship with Christ, it's going to end up in a bunch of young adults who are disillusioned, don't understand who Jesus is or why they'd want to follow whoever is in that church building. I'd like to make that not happen in our community. And so hope you jump on the bandwagon with me. So I really don't think kids learn who Jesus is by osmosis. Like I said before, we want them to see our example. It's important that they have good leadership, but really we have to get them into a relationship with Jesus. When I already said all that, that's so good. Do you ever think that in yourself? This is so good. See, I said that out loud, and really I shouldn't have. Because that's... So if I was writing, I would just delete that. Okay, so... Right here, if you can read that scripture. Everything we do... if we do anything we do without Jesus as a relationship will be meaningless to kids. So here's a verse. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And he took the children in his arms and put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Now, when I was reading through the Gospels, there is scads of kingdom of God language. And I think that's something that I really haven't thought about much until I really became part of this community, is what does that mean to have the kingdom of God here and not yet, and how does that relate to you guys as kids? And we'll get there in a second. But Jesus loves children. And there's a scripture that he says, if you're going to lead a kid astray, it'd be better off if you just tie a millstone somewhere on over your neck or your legs or wherever it is that you sink, probably anywhere you would sink, right? If you have a millstone, it's like a giant bowling ball. Tie it in your body and jump into the river or the lake or whatever. That would be better for you than leading a kid astray. So Jesus is just excited about kids, and he loves you guys. And we want you to feel it, and we want you to experience it. And you're going to, because we're all going to get on the bandwagon. So here it is. So how do we lead kids into a relationship with Jesus? Basically, we talk a lot. This is something that I think our culture today lends itself to, we schedule, right? We can schedule our kids from the time that we have them until the time that they graduate from high school. Every minute of their day can be something. They can become professional golfers at 15 or ballerinas at 10. I mean, we can have these really smart, educated, well-rounded kids. And I was thinking that, you know, that's really, I mean, it's cool, it's good, but a lot that we miss is having the parental inpouring into their lives. We kind of leave it to the people that are raising or teaching to do a lot of the raising. And then kids end up almost raising themselves. they become super independent. I mean, you're really, really smart. If we have a computer problem, we're going to come and ask you because you're going to know how to do that. If I want to learn how to do cartwheel, I have to come ask a kid. I don't know how to do a cartwheel. So there's just a whole lot of busyness that we can do with our kids, and we can actually miss a whole lot of talking opportunities. So I guess what I would encourage us to the parents is that we really need to just be present, be physically present as much as possible, and open up the mode of communication, talking about, whatever. But really, in discipling, like talking about Jesus, I think it would be awesome if we got into a routine of having some type of a devotional in our homes as parents. And I know, I think Jeremy and I have started and stopped because life gets so busy and we get into our schedule. But I think that's probably really, really super important because it's really hard to do. Just like praying with your spouse, right? That's really important, but it's really hard to fit it in. So it must be something we should be doing. So I'm thinking, even if you start discipling your kids, just start reading through the Gospels. I mean, you can just let Jesus disciple your kids and you can just tell his story through you and talk about it 10 minutes every few days. I don't know. Just starting to make purposeful time in discipling. And then whatever we do on Sunday will just be a tiny little perk to what you've been doing all week long. Maybe this is me. I mean, this is definitely like downloading in me, and because I'm in charge of kids, I'm just going to share it with you. So if you're already doing it, great. You might should be doing this instead of me. But okay, so anyways, I'm getting to the values here. We're going to move on. Okay, so if you do not have kids, this is actually, I'm going to take a pause for a minute because I wanted to tell you how many kids are in this building. On an average Sunday, we've got a good 40 children from the age of Paige to Calvin. So, see, she said, it's me. So there's a lot of kids. There's 40 kids who are elementary to newborn. And then we've got a few high schoolers. And then from about 20 to 29, there's about 20 of those that are on the roster, about 10 of them that come. We've got a lot of college students that weave in and out. But is that like 60-some people that are under the age of 29, single, and young? And then there's about 60 of us who are adults who might still be in our 20s, but I've counted you if you're married in a different category. So half of us are really young, really young, and then there's a portion that are getting older. I know. So I think this is the other thing. Half of you 60 adults, really half of you volunteer with the children. And so we already are proving that we love kids. And that's the thing that I'm really impressed with. I love when we get volunteers and we get new ones and some take a break and they come back in. I mean, I think that's what I want from our community, is just a desire to do it. So I'm hoping that we can start having a little bit of the verbiage of the core values of our church, so that when we're talking to these kids, it gives you kind of a platform of what we're looking for you to say. And so this is almost maybe a training. We're doing a workshop, so pretend all of you are volunteers, because that's who this is really for. But because the 30 of you that don't volunteer get to just hear it for fun. And I don't want you to volunteer, so don't feel like I'm looking for volunteers. So, if you want to, you can. But okay, as far as like sharing our story, there was in one of the workshops we did, I think it's Acts 26, Paul is giving his story to King Agrippa. And he has a before Christ, kind of a cross experience, and an after Christ. What God has been doing since his experience. And that's, if we were doing our training workshop, I would love for us to do that. Because what this gal challenged us to do is in 4 sentences to come up with your before Christ life. And then give a little blurb of how you got to know Jesus. And then about 4 more sentences of what God's been doing in your life since you've been in relationship with him. And that's about it. That's all you need to do with our kids. So when you're volunteering, whether you're with the wee little babies, the preschoolers, whatever, you can just be practicing sharing your story. And we want the kids to have a story as well. We want to share, teach them how to share their story. And I've already lost them. This is the thing that you got, the attention span is as old as the kid is. So I've been talking at least 10 minutes and you're like, ooh, right? Like right now you're hearing wah, 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 wah. So we had to do something else. Like we're supposed to do an exciting thing, but I don't have any exciting things. But if I have like a commercial, change. Okay. Then that like resets it. It's true. I don't know if that will. But if somebody got up and did something exciting, like I should have a new, oh, I have a new thing, a new slide. See, that's Ben. Thank you. Okay, here, let's move on. All right. Okay. So here we go. Our five core values, how they relate to kids. I don't know if you can, I'll read it to you here. So the kingdom theology and practice. So this is the whole, these are the five core values that make up the Vineyard. It's there. That's what I was talking about, the melting pot. There are people from so many different faith experiences, and they've kind of just all put it into their this melting pot of who they are, taking the best from where they've been and creating, I think, something that really makes sense on how we want to live our lives every day. The kingdom of God is here and is coming. We proclaim it with our words and by our actions. By the kingdom of God, we mean that God is the king of the universe. His kingdom is expanded as people choose to follow him in obedience. So in God's kingdom, everyone gets to play, which means young and old get to do the stuff of the kingdom. Now, I was just asking my kids the other day what you think of when I say kingdom of God. And Samantha said she thinks of King Kong. So I think, okay, well, this is not the answer I was looking for. But that's probably really close to what everyone, you know, like, well, I think of Samantha, or Margaret thought of a pink princess. And I won't say what you thought. Okay, so there, that was just a time. You can do that when you're working with the kids. Just ask them, what do you guys think the kingdom of God is? What does it mean to you? And you're going to get some really fun answers. And then you get to fill in the blanks. And so the youngest of kids can put their heads around a king. I mean, from the earliest of ages, we have so many movies based on kingdoms. We have princes and princesses, and we have Princess Leia, even Luke Skywalker. I mean, you can go to boy, girl, young, old, they will understand a kingdom. And so then you get to explain how God is the king of the universe. And when Jesus was born, that kingdom entered the world. And it's on earth, but it's not complete. So that's the whole here and not yet. So that means, like, a lot of times we always tell you to pray for things like crazy miracles, and you think, well, crazy miracles aren't happening. But that's doesn't mean that you don't stop praying, because sometimes crazy miracles will happen because the kingdom of God is here and he can just plug right into your life and boom, you can be healed. Or boom, you're not healed. That's the not yet part, because it's not perfect yet. And so that's something that, like, that's just an example of a sharing how it, I mean, I think even us as adults, I need to understand that. What is it? Because you're just walking around in this supernatural, natural, naturally supernatural, I mean, all these big words, and you want it to be real. And so with kids, with young people, that's how we start just getting the ball rolling on how, what that means as in our lives. Okay, so culturally relevant mission. We want to reach kids with the message of Jesus using the language they speak and the methods that appeal to their generation. We want to empower kids to reach their generation at home and the world with the message of Jesus too. So this, the culturally relevant mission, we can't do without the kids helping us. So this is something that we're going to be working on. You guys are going to be helping us. How can we reach your generation? Because I don't know. You just saw the dance I just did. Is that how you guys dance when you have dances? No. See? I need help. You got to teach me the dance. And that's what we want from you. We want you guys to put your stamp of, this is how a fifth grader dances. and then we can move on from there. We'll start having fifth grade dances. We want to be like culturally relevant. And I mean, there's a bunch of Christianity that should be counterculture, and we can talk about that too. But the part that we want, I mean, that was, I was thinking about in the late 1970s when I was your age. My parents were, we were up in Canada somewhere. We went to this, some type of prayer meeting, and it was a bunch of hippie looking people sitting around a fire singing songs in E minor. Right? Okay, that was like culturally relevant. If I could think of a song, I would bless you all with that. You should go find what E minor sounds like, and that's how a lot of the songs were sung, in that they will know we are Christian by our love. You know that whole, I want to hear that. And that was kind of like the E minor hippie fire in the woods. Well, that we don't find a whole lot of that right now. So that, I think, is an example of culturally relevant. We don't want to look super weird. Okay. Compassionate ministry. We help the poor, the lonely, and the hurting in practical ways so we can express Jesus' love to them with the same attitude as if we were serving Jesus himself. So again, who are the poor, the lonely, and the hurting in your world? I mean, this is for a young person, right? We want you guys, you young people, to love the people in your lives. How does a seventh grader show compassion to a lonely kid at school? I mean, they're like a whole series on this, right? The Diary of the Wimpy Kid. Jeremy watched the movie with Calvin the other day, and he was roaring. And I was painting, because that's my new job. So I was painting while Jeremy was having fun with the wimpy kid. But, it, I mean, that's kind of a little glimpse of what the culture's, what's going on in the culture right now. So there are lots of hurting people. I mean, just to be in middle school, it's just a lot of pain. Like, that's really, I wish we could skip middle school altogether. Like, because you won't remember it. It'll be really blurry. You'll have like a few, ooh, I remember that bad and that good. And in 10th grade, you won't even remember it. Mark my words, right? Who remembers middle school? You want to forget it. Well, Jonah. Yeah, okay, tough times. There you go. Okay, so it's really, I mean, what we want you guys to do is to understand, how do you bring the kingdom of God to a middle school? And the thing that this is, the whole dialoguing thing, talking with your kids, let's just ask God, what's your agenda today? Or what do you have on your heart today? When I go to this middle school where there's hundreds of people, a lot of them smell. Just, you know that, girls. The girls don't. I taught seventh grade, and I had to encourage them to start using deodorant. It's the truth. There comes a time. So how do you show love to, like, smelly boys? There's got to be a way. Connery does not smell. Okay, so that's the thing. The neighbor, let's say there's a neighbor kid that doesn't have as much as you. You know there's a struggle in their home. Like, this is the kind of thing that gets to your heart, and you can see that need, and we want to show you how to meet it. And there's totally, I mean, you can ask God, would you just tell me what to say to this kid, how to be nice to this kid? And the thing is that this is going to be the hard part, is a lot of kids are still going to look at you like, no way, don't be nice to him. And you have to keep doing it, even though you're being made fun of. So we want to help you with that. We want to help you be compassionate. There's stuff we can do as families with even like the loaves and fishes we were talking about earlier. There's lots of stuff just to get your children in the line of fire for helping people. Okay, reconciling community. We want to seek to build friendships between the kids, moving them beyond their personal preferences so that they will engage others who may be more unlike themselves. So in our ministry, we want to actively work to break down those prejudices between kids caused by everything: gender, race, culture, social class, age, ethnicity. And God, yes. So really, like, if I were to tell you, Riley, I want you to start reconciling community in your school, you'd be like, what? That's another big old word, right? We need to make it, what does that mean as far as one of you is concerned? It means building relationships, friendships with people that don't always get along. And you know what? When you get into high school, I mean, you can see the waves of the different people, right? You've got the ones who wear dark clothes and they've already got tattoos and big earlobes. And then you have the ones in the band, and you have the ones who are the really academic ones. And I mean, there's just like these categories. Well, what happens if you're the kid who gets to kind of link everybody together? Couldn't that be neat? Like, just, we're all kids. Let's just do life together. That would be reconciling community. And I'm like, wow, is this possible? I want to see. So if you guys wouldn't mind being my experiment. And then as the next group comes up, you can tell us what we did right and wrong and see. You're going to be leaders. All right. So this is a huge part of the DNA of the Vineyard, is reconciling community. And I can say from experience, when we moved up to Iowa for a few months, 10 months, we were in part of a Vineyard up there. And it was so interesting to me that there really, really is a DNA in the Vineyard movement. Different faces, different places, even different passions. But there's that whole loving the lost and the lonely, the hurting. That is just a big part of who we are. Experiencing God, the fifth one. God is searching for his lost children and longs to draw them into a close personal relationship with himself. We will welcome God's personal presence into our kids' lives and help them learn how to be attentive. We could help you be attractive too, and responsive to God while avoiding hype or efforts to manipulate your response. So this is perhaps the most exciting value, because it's why we do everything. We want you to experience God. And we want you to experience God naturally. You know, if you're the kid who walks into school and says, the kingdom of God is here, I mean, that you won't make a whole lot of friends that way, right? So we want you to do it naturally. Like, you can just say in your head, God, how can I move your kingdom into this English class today? Just in your head. And he might tell you how. You'll start to hear it. And this is the part that when we were in one of the workshops that we did, was there was a great, we all want to do this with our kids too, we'll start getting in the habit of this, but teaching our kids how to hear God's voice and discerning, is it really God's voice? And this gal was saying what she does is they just pray for each other and they ask God for a picture, so that every age can do this. And just say, you know, we're going to pray for Calvin. And all the kids can just take a few minutes and just be like, God, what do you want to say to Calvin? How can I encourage him? And then you draw a picture of what you feel like God might be saying. And then a lot of the pictures in this gal's testimony, she says, you'd be really surprised how similar a lot of them end up being. And then they say, you know, does this sound like something God would say? And this is the neat thing about the whole word in works. Is that the right W's? Okay, you've got, like, that's kind of a little experiential, right? Like, that's what the Pentecostals do. But let's put the fundamentalists into it, and let's put that, I guess that's tension, right? Like, how do we work this together? Because it's not like every time you do that, God might not, he's not going to give you maybe a picture every time, but you start to get an idea of how God can speak to you. And when you see it encouraging someone else, that's really cool, because you're like, oh my goodness, God just gave me a picture, and it made sense to Calvin, and he's really happy about it. Sorry, I said your name again. He's looking. Okay, it made sense to Jenna, and she was. Okay, but it's encouraging when people come up to me and say, hey, I have a word for you. Like, really? Oh, my goodness, what does that mean? And they say it to me, and a lot of times it rings true, and sometimes I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to pray about that one. And that's the whole discerning part of experiencing God. So that, I mean, we really want, even from the youngest. I have a friend, a longtime friend, that when she had young kids, she would ask them, what is God telling you today? And I remember thinking, well, he's like 6 months old. I don't think he's telling them anything. And she just keeps saying that to her kids. And now they're, I don't know, 8, 9, 10. And they're giving answers because God's telling them something. And she's just getting the dialogue in their head. God's talking to you all the time. And a lot of that comes from studying the Word of God. All of it comes from studying the Word of God. You understand God speaking, and you understand his voice. And then, like, those words of the Bible that come into our head that we're teaching and discipling as parents start to come out of our kids, and they start blessing other people. I think that's called discipleship. So, no more words. Okay, so that is it. The last slide we'll do in a minute, just a second. Because what I want us to do, this is really, this is just our heart. And Jeremy and I, we really, really, I mean, this, I have to tell you, I don't feel like this is our lifelong calling. It hasn't been like I've been dreaming about children's ministry my whole life. But God has given me the grace for it and the desire to do it. Probably because I have four young ones. But I really want to see them discipled. I don't want them to have the church experience that I did growing up. I don't want them to be people sitting on the sidelines watching all these goofy parents doing stuff that we don't understand. So what I would like to do, and this is fun because the Vineyard loves tension, I'm going to bring every single child into the building right now. So you had to endure, I don't know how long it was, but time. So thank you. But I want to kind of do like a little promoting. So we have got a group, this is school just ended. We have a group of kids who are going into kindergarten, and I want them to get to, woohoo, they're going to kindergarten. And then we have middle schoolers. We have 10 middle schoolers, 10 kids who are 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. This is really exciting to me. So I want to see, we're going to talk about you 10th grade, or 10th graders, you 10 middle schoolers. And, well, Jeremy, I think Jeremy's getting them. But a lot of the middle schoolers help teach the preschool and the babies. And that's what we want. We want to just keep funneling them into giving. So here we have... If you are going to be a kindergartner, would you come stand up here in the very front? Who's going to be in kindergarten? We might just have, well, they're like, I'm not a kindergartner. Okay, well, this is the kindergarten through second grade class. So we have one going to be kindergarten. Yay! And then if you guys, the middle schoolers, will you guys stand up here too? I know, Connor. Thank you. Connor is a great preschool teacher. He really is awesome with kids. So we thank you for helping. And Mallory, she was in there today. Sophia, another great helper of young children. And Colton and Calvin and Riley, you're going to be in middle school. Oh, Colton, we want you in middle school. No, would you? He's going to skip a grade because he's... If you would stand, if you are under the age of 12, how about that? Just come up here. We're gonna do. Calvin, you can do it. Yes. Okay. Well, and then we have the babies. Do we have a sleeping baby? Okay. There's a really cool passage of scripture that I want us as adults to pray over. The kids, which is the next slide. So if you guys would, everybody stand up and then nobody will feel like they're being pointed out. So kids, young people, we love you. And as adults, we just want to pray this over you. Okay, so if y'all, you can, it's up on the board. So here we go. So ever since we first heard about you, we have kept praying and asking God to help you understand what he wants you to do. Asking him to make you wise about spiritual things and asking that the way you live will always please the Lord and honor him so that you will always be doing good, kind things for others while all the time you are learning to know God better and better. We are praying too that you will be filled with his mighty, glorious strength so that you can keep going no matter what happens. Always full of the joy of the Lord and always thankful to the Father who has made us fit to share all the wonderful things that belong to those who live in the kingdom of light. Amen.
So as you go, please come say hello to a child that you don't know. Introduce yourself to them, fellow citizens in our community. And let me say just a quick amen for our morning together, especially praying for Jeremy and Jen. Father, we are grateful that you have given us into a family of faith. And Lord, we are grateful for the grace that does rest upon Jeremy and Jen to oversee our children's ministry. And Lord, how grateful I am for those 30 folks that volunteer to help and from middle school on through adults. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing to be upon our children and upon this ministry. We want to serve them well. We want to serve our children. Lord, we believe that the last will be first. And so, Lord, we really want to bless them. And thank you that as a community we can do that. Thank you for this morning together in your name. Amen.